Blessings. Blessings. It was really God's grace that I can come here and share God's words. How are you? Good? Good? Okay. Wow. I was so touched by today's worship. Actually, as I sing the song, I look at this cross and this tapestry. I noticed you have the theme, right? Weaving a communal spirit, right? I pick up this bulletin. And that cross is right above this tapestry. So I think Lost Grace Church picked up a very important theme, weaving a communal spirit when we come to the cross. When we come to the cross. I believe not only Sunday, we remember God's grace, right? Every day, every moment. God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace comes with suffering. This cross, do you notice? There are holes. There are holes on this cross. You know, I've been to many churches, but I seldom notice or observe there's four holes on this cross. Do you notice? There are four holes. Why are there holes? Not many churches that their cross has holes on it. Usually, wooden bars, okay? But there are holes. I like this cross. Not only to remember Jesus dying for us, but dying in pain. These cross are remembrance of his nails. He just not just died, but died in intense pain. Imagine yourself hanging on the cross with such a forbearance of pain. So this is my introduction. I think it's just a very important message here. When you come to this building, when you come to this art, Christian artwork, there is a message behind. We as a church was built on the foundation of Jesus' suffering and God's victory. Because Jesus is no more here. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Yes, up and above, praying for us. Yes, Romans 8. How do we know it? Romans 8. So I picked a passage today to let us meditate on God's word, on an important text. I think out of different passages, one of my most favorite passages is this, Romans 8. Romans 8 is quite long, but I picked a passage from 35 to 39, and we will backtrack a bit. Are we ready for a journey of understanding the Bible? Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh yeah, the baby said yes, okay. Right, a toddler. Okay, great. So it will be quite text intensive, but I have some pictures. Don't worry, I have some pictures. Okay, but let's do some exegesis here. This passage, towards the end of chapter 8, actually hinges on verse 37, where I highlighted in yellow. Okay, what is that? Can you read with me together verse 37? Okay, 1, 2, 3. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Okay, no. I want you to be more assertive, okay? 1, 2, 3. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We better, okay? Oh, no, we are more than conquerors. Doesn't feel like you are more than conquerors. You feel like you are losers, okay? Your voice, your dresses. Feels like a conqueror. Okay, no. You are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, all right? And we'll dive a bit deeper, okay? But let me tell you forefront. More than conquerors in the original Greek means exceedingly conquer that thing. That monster, that thing. You know, I like sci-fi movies. Gary said. So sci-fi movies always have some monsters or some people who bully people. I bully other people, and we are fight it. But in order to fight a good fight and be a conqueror, we need to hang on to Christ's love. Okay, so we'll dive into that more. So that whole passage here, 35 to 39, that central passage is a theme. Okay, we are more than conquerors, so that's why I picked this title. But like we open up this window of exegesis, we find that actually, just like anyone, go to McDonald's, hamburger. You like hamburgers? You like Big Mac? No. Okay. That's all right. Double Big Mac. Okay. Or Burger King. Do we have Burger King in Vancouver? Do we have Burger King? I think we do. Okay. Why I mentioned this? Okay. You know, you have a piece of bread on top and a piece of bread at the bottom, right? Usually it's that. Okay. And similarly, this pattern has a top and a bottom. And this top and bottom resonate with each other. They really saying this basically the same thing is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And in the end, you see, nothing. I'm sure neither these things would not separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? You see? There's a question, there's a rhetorical question. Okay? Doesn't it really expand the answer? It's really a rhetorical device today. No, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And at the end, no, these things cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So at the end, it's more words, more detailed description of God and Christ. But it's similar. So the top and the bottom really resonate with each other. You get it? Get it? So really, it's like this is the yellow part is like the meat of that passage, okay? And top and bottom, the blue part encapsulates or wrap up the whole thing, okay? Sounds good? Okay? So the message, in order for us to remember, okay, we talk about remembrance today, remember this passage. I have some suggestion for you, okay? And believe me, I will ask you at the end of the sermon, okay, these three C's, okay? So that you won't forget, okay? Because I'll be going back to Toronto very soon, and I hope to come again sometime later. So I'll ask you before I go, okay? These three C's. You know, there are three C's of life that we Christians are very relevant to us. In all these things. So this third single verse has three components, and the three C's can be observed here, okay? One is, in all these things, the first E is, together, circumstance. Very good, your circumstances, okay? And the second C, the we, okay, we are more than conquerors. So I want you to remember the second word starting with C is conquerors. Very good. And third thing, through him who loved us. Him is Christ, okay, the first C. Okay, the first C is circumstances. Okay, second C, conquerors. Third C, Christ. Okay, I'll hide it. Okay, let me hide it. Okay. Okay. The first C is circumstances. Second C, conquerors. Third C, Christ. Very good. Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow. What a very attentive congregation you are. Okay. Right. Okay. So think about it. A person, we have a circumstance. What happened around us? What are you experiencing in your life? This is your circumstances, all your contacts. Okay. Also a C, okay. This is our circumstances. So someone treat us well, we're happy, okay, our circumstances. But when we say get a low mark in a exam, we're not so happy, right? What are you facing today? When you have arguments with your parents, you're not so happy. You get ignored by your loved ones. You don't feel happy, right? But if your loved ones treat you with a big meal, you're happy. So this is why assumption at least. So there are what you're facing, the circumstances. But this you, are you a conqueror or a loser? That really depends how we understand God's love. And so the third point is we need to look up to Christ who loved us, not to circumstances. Otherwise, just like Peter, right? Jesus coming to save him. And he is really walking on the sea. He has some faith to walk out of the boat. But what happened? He looked at the surroundings, the circumstances, big storm. He no longer focused on Christ, but circumstances. Then what? Yeah, he fell. He fell into the water. And Jesus held his hands, snapped it back, rescued him from the drowning circumstances. So let's see how Paul described the situation. And you know Paul? Paul really has Paul really can say these things. He is not just making up story. He himself experienced these sufferings, these kinds of sufferings. We learn from Corinthians. He really experienced tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and so these are what a true believer will expect to experience, as Paul experienced himself. Now look at these. When I backtrack, you can follow. Above, we say, what then? Okay, let me go back. Yes. In all these things, what are these things? So we saw what he listed. 7 things on the top and 10 things at the bottom. But if you look above, read above in the passage that we show that you can see, what then shall we say to these things? So in the passage, right directly above this passage, we see Paul is discussing how these things shall come together. What are these things? It's when we have weakness. The Holy Spirit help us in our weakness. And why are we weak? Why are we, sometimes we even cannot pray and need the intercession of Holy Spirit? Because they are suffering of the present times. If you look at the whole, at least from our verse 18, and you can see Paul is concerned with Christians not understanding Christian perseverance. Sometimes when we face persecution, sufferings, all these difficult situations, very soon some people may retreat in their faith. Some people may think, is Christ really real? Why is God not rescuing me? Why is there no deliverance? So Paul explained in a very detailed way how creation is still waiting for the final judgment through Christ's second coming. One day, Jesus will come. One day, he will deliver us, deliver all Christians and all creations to have a new hope, new beginning, new heaven and new earth. Okay? But in the meantime, there is suffering. In the meantime, there's persecution. And you see, even the creation is like a bondage. And, things will corrupt, okay? And sometimes even our sins, if we are not careful enough, sometimes we thought we should be free in Christ. But if we go back to sin, we'll be bonded by by sin. And one day, we will God's children will fully exhibit the quality of God's children, which is a fully glorious state. So until then, we'll have suffering because of persecution. You know, in all over the world, Vancouver is very peaceful, relatively. But some part of the world, they are fighting a war. Christians are fighting a difficult fight. Upcoming is Remembrance Day. You know, we remember our soldiers fighting very hard in the Second World War. But you know, there's a bigger warfare, the spiritual warfare that global Christians are fighting. And in some part of the world, some missionaries, they suffer. They need to hide their identity, or they need to be very careful lest the government, the local government, will really put them in jail, etc. This is not unusual in some parts of the world. So I would encourage you, if you can, preach the gospel, spread it when you can, when you have an opportunity. One day Jesus will come, judgment will come, and that will be the end of this world and the beginning of a new world. But in the meantime, we have weakness. We have, sometimes we do not know what to pray and how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with His love, with God's love, so that we remember our purpose is to live according to His will. Okay? So these 7 things and these 10 things, or 10 items, let's say, okay? I'll read the 7 items. You read for me the 10, okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Okay, please, 10 things. Thank you. Okay. The first part is not difficult to understand, except the sword. Why is it sword? You know, in early Christian history, I encourage you to study early Christian history. Sword means what? Yes. The death penalty, the persecution from the government. In Roman times, after Paul, there's intense suffering for those who professed Christian faith. And they used different ways to execute Christians. Not only the cross, okay? Fire and sword. And sometimes, you know, put them into a Colosseum and, you know, being beaten and being eaten by lions. So there are various ways of pressing on or compressing Christians, execute them, not allowing them to spread the faith. But yet, they still do. They still do. Otherwise, we won't have, you know, have you thought about why you become Christians? Someone told you the faith. And why that person, or how that person come to know the faith? Someone preached the gospel, right? If you trace back, you can trace back to early Christian period when people just spread the faith despite these persecutions. We need to give thanks to their suffering, sacrifice for us, for the subsequent generations. But the 10 things here, the latter part of this, 38, 39, I want you to see how do you. If we are give you a test to remember these 10, how would you do it? I give you a hint. Death, life, what are they? Right, they're opposite, right? Death, life, okay?
death life. So whether you really suffer to the point of death, or really you get rescued, you have life. Angels, rulers. Now rulers here, many Bible scholars understand this as the bad angels. These rulers, likely not to be rulers like a government, but evil angels. Because angels, rulers, they seem to be opposites. Okay, so really good angels, bad angels. So say bad angels will tempt you. Good angels? Now, sometimes things are too good that might hinder you to see God's love. You say, Dr. Jimmy, what? Good angels can block us from God's love? Well, have you eaten too many candies? Well, I don't ask you about Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween, but, you know, if you eat so too many candies, what will happen? Yeah, you might get stomach problem or your teeth that need to, deteriorate, okay? Sometimes too sweet things are not good for you. Too good to be true. Sometimes good things, seemingly good things, or seemingly bright angels can be a disguise of bad things beyond. Or at least block you from seeing God's love. God's love, once again, is this full of candies, this cross? No. When you see the cross, what do you associate it with? Persecution, thank you. Suffering, right? Suffering. I never heard people associate the cross with candies and sweets. No. It's always associated with suffering. If you don't see it, if you're too immersed with so-called comfort zone, oh, I'm so comfortable. People say what? Potato couch? Is that couch potato? Couch potato, not potato couch. What's potato? Couch potatoes, right? Yeah, couch potato. Oh, I want to see Netflix or this thing. Oh, just, it seems so nice, seems so relaxing. But if, I'm not saying you shouldn't relax yourself, but if it's too much, too comfortable, if your faith becomes too comfortable, that might distract you from seeing the sacrificial love of Christ. That might make you be too self-sufficient or feel so complacent. That might not be a good thing, and I will tell you, that will hinder our faith to see Christ's goodness in Jesus' suffering, okay? So, and then now things in the present or things to come. Have you wondered why there's no past? Okay, it's like things present, things to come. So the present and the future, right? Why is there no past? Now, Augustine, okay, I'm a scholar in Augustine. Augustine is a very famous theologian, okay, in the 4th century. Your past has become your present in memory. Your past, when you say present, it already embedded the past. Think about it. It's your past that becomes what you are, right? If you don't have a past, that will not be you. So things present already entails the past, and things to come actually become present and the past as well. When you think about it, as you walk in time, you walk in the future, into the future, but actually you also walk into the past. The moment I said the last sentence is already the past, okay? So it's very, very interesting. This is a theology of time, okay? Anyway, so Paul was saying, don't let things in the past, embedded in present and things to come, to distract you from the love of God in Christ. Like what?
You might have dreams. That's good. You have dreams. But please include Jesus in your dream. Please ask Christ before you dream. Is your dream God's dream or your own dream? Some people dream a big house. Okay. Wow, I dream a big house. If when I have 600 feet or square feet, not enough. 1,000. But when I have 1,000 square feet, not enough. 2,000, okay? But is that Christ's dream for you? Or is that God's dream? Is there any part that's related to the community of faith? Have you been sharing what you have with other people to share God's love with other people? Or you let this present or future dreams be a bondage of your self-sufficiency and self-dream? So think about it, okay? No powers, no heights or depth. In Roman times, heights and depth, they like to look at the stars to find out their futures. So a lot of people use the stars and maybe some spirit from below to want to have peace. Like Chinese people, right? They want to know what will happen. They want to have good luck. So they want to check the astrology or check some spirit down below. No, you don't need that. Christians don't need that. Always God's love prevails. Always God's love is most important. And if not enough, not anything else in all creation. Nothing. No one should replace God. No one. Nothing. If there's anyone that you love more than Christ, more than you love Christ, let's repent. And I'm really grateful this church has a very good worship to help us do confessions and repentance. So in summary, 7 items and 10 items. And conquerors. Okay, first point, first C is what? Let's review. Samson. Very good. Second, conquerors. Hypernikomen, this word, more than conquerors, is hyper. You know hyper, right? Oh, some people very hyper, you know, very hyper. Could act very, wow. Hyper is like above, more than conquerors. This originally is a verb, so it's we more than conquer, meaning you not just marginally can fight it, but really, Paul is emphasizing that believers not only conquer such adversities, under the providential hand of God, they even work towards our good. These things, even so-called bad things happen, actually is for our own good, for our good. So that is the so-called blessings is in disguise. So when we face these difficulties, we can conquer, not just barely conquer, but more than conquer, meaning we can actually taste the goodness of God through this suffering, through these difficulties. So I know time is running out, I'll just quickly show you Psalm 44:22. I know you have been reading Psalms, right? So please write down Psalm 44:22. As it is written, "For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Okay? This is Paul in verse 6, but he is quoting Psalm 44:22. And when you read the original Psalm, it is actually describing how the psalmist is in a very tension state where he tried to pray for God's mercy and he trusts God, but somehow the adversary is too strong and he is almost in the verge of doubting whether God is really helping or not. So that is that tension in that passage. So Paul is addressing the Christians that in circumstances we might not understand fully what happened or why we face these things. So this is Psalm, the original context there. So see, awake while you're sleeping, O Lord. Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression?
For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Rise up, come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. You see, that's the resonance with Romans 8 here. By quoting Psalm 44, Paul is, you know, giving that empathy to people who are facing persecution. Recently, I read a story about a hammer and diamond. So in a nutshell, that is when, usually you think diamond cannot be broken. But actually, no. Once upon a time, a few years ago, the largest diamond in record history was discovered in Africa. Okay, and it was then moved to England and Amsterdam, and that stone is really, you know, looks really nice, but suddenly that there's a jeweler used a hammer to cast deep sharp blow on this jewelry, on this diamond. It was so crazy. People say, well, you're crazy. This diamond is good. Why are you doing that? But actually, while many people think this blow is a mistake, this jeweler does not make a mistake. This single strike allowed the diamond to unfold or to achieve its most beautiful shape. Okay? And eventually, this single blow becomes a beautiful art for the diamond. So unless you're engaged, you know, may not understand about diamond more, or diamonds for those who are engaged, maybe, or get married. But anyway, what I wanted to let you know is, right, sometimes we think we are good. Oh, we are diamond. We are precious children of God. But boom, suddenly you may experience a blow, and you feel, why? Why am I hurt? Why am I experiencing these things? But hang on. God will not make a mistake. He is the perfect jeweler. He wants to make us more beautiful, more like Christ. Because Isaiah 53, 6 to 7. Please read together. 1, 2, 3. All we like sheep has gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to a slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And Christ's suffering is our model, and we are to trust him. So the three C's. Okay, in our circumstances, we are conquerors, more than conquerors, because of Christ. Okay, so three C's, remember, okay? So reflection, before I go, so what would happen if Christ had not loved us the way he did? What would we have become? Think about it. Wow, I was really thankful, and hope you are grateful that Christ loved us to the deepest way, okay, in the deepest way. Think about your circumstances. Where is God in your challenging life circumstances? Present or future? You may say, oh, I don't have any suffering. I feel good. But remember this sermon. Remember God's word. One day, you might suffer. You might be challenged in your faith through this suffering. Remember, in all circumstances, we are more than conquerors because of Christ's love in Jesus. Where are you? In your circumstances or in Christ? I hope you're not just immersed in your circumstances or overwhelmed by your circumstances, but I hope you're overwhelmed by God's love in Christ Jesus, who saved us, who died for us, and resurrected, and praying for us. Let's pray. Lord, please help us. You know our circumstances, present and future, and even the past. Help us to focus on you.
Focus on your love and be grateful for what you have done for us. Apart from your love, we are nothing. We cannot save ourselves. And our sins won't be forgiven had it not been your love, your grace, and your suffering. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to remember we are more than conquerors because of you. In all circumstances, we are more than conquerors because of God's love in Christ Jesus. We give thanks to you. Bless this community. Help us to weave our spirit in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Blessings to you. May God's love be with you always. Thank you.
Let's stand and respond in song. To make